I appreciate Don preaching again, as he is so apt and willing to do during times, and he has called us to be ready, and I'm grateful for that. But I want to take your mind back a couple weeks ago when we preached about God's freeing you to be free. God freed you to live in liberty. So my message today is God's freed you to be slaves. The Christian doctrine, the Christian Bible, seems to have these opposing terms sometimes, these contrasting ideas. Are we free or are we slaves? Which one is it? I just want to remind you again of one portion of last week, 2 weeks ago, when Peter wrote this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power for the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last days. That is a culmination, if you will, of the abundant life Jesus said that he came to give us. Living waters will well up inside you in joy, leading to an inheritance, co-heirs with his son, which is just weird, but so great, leading to an imperishable inheritance ahead of us. Sounds like freedom to me. I reminded you when Moses was saying, go into the land and you're going to find rest and you're going to be free. But they had to fight to get there. In fact, when they entered the land, they kind of had to fight, didn't they? If you study before the land of Joshua, and then afterwards into the Canaan land is what I'm talking about. Before they went in over the Jordan, they were like on the defensive a lot of times. They were neutral. Don't touch those people. Just go around them. Neutral or defensive. But when they crossed that Jordan, it was offensive. They were on the offense. I'm reminded sometimes, reminded back to when you were 5 years old. Pinocchio. Yeah, that's always bad. I think it was the film's 1940, I think. And you remember he's on strings at first, and then his song is, there's no strings on me. There are no strings to hold me down. I bet we can get you all singing this. To make me fret or make me frown. I had strings, but now I'm free. There are no strings on me. Well, go watch the movie. What did his strings lead to? A long nose. A very long nose. There are no strings on me. I've got no strings, so I have fun. I'm not tied to anyone. They've got strings, but you can see there are no strings on me. Isn't that what people want? Don't tie me down. That in reality is the Constitution of the United States. You have your rights under God. Do not tie me down. There's some good to that, but what do those rights lead to? Long noses. I want to remind you, I do this from time to time. I want to remind you of what was said to Adam. If you eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you will die to die, or die dying in the Hebrew. It's the word die twice. That's why we, in the English, we say, well, that means you're really, really going to die. Or you're surely going to die. You're surely die. Genesis 2:17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You will die dying. You will die to die. Right up front. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, no strength, she took of it, of its fruit, and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was an idiot, I'm sorry, who was with her, who was rebellious. See, Eve was deceived. Adam was a rebel. And he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So I want no strings to hold me down. Give me the fruit, and then you eat of the fruit, and congratulations, you're in slavery. They were set up. They were taken into slavery. They thought they were walking into freedom. They didn't realize they had freedom. They had freedom. They were free. And Gary, again, this morning was saying there was only one law. There was only one command at the beginning, very beginning. Don't eat that. For when you do, you will be pulled into slavery. And they were talked into it by this shiny little serpent thing that was talking. But again, you know, that's dumb. But, and he's saying, oh no, eat this fruit and you're going to be free. They were set up. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Welcome to slavery. On your birth certificate, what was the dad? Occupation. Slave. He didn't put that down. Mother, slave. Baby, slave. Ephesians 2, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That was continuously walking. This is my life. This is who I am. I walked in trespasses and sins following the course of this world. John 8, truly, truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That's pretty clear. I think Jesus nails it on the head. So the ramifications of that are in verse 12 of John 8. Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ. I'm sorry, Ephesians 2. You were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You were without the master. And you were pulled into another master, who, by the way, is a puppet. He's God's creation. And he will use him as he wills to bring about the redemption of mankind. And then he will dispose of him. 2 Peter 2:18, with lofty but empty words, they appeal to the sensual passions, like that fruit on the tree. She saw it. And in fact, Gary was talking about the five senses this morning. Wonderful. See how the Holy Spirit works? The five senses, taste, touch, smell, and so she saw, and it looked pleasing to her. That's why I said it had to be the red apple and not the green one. The sensual passions of the flesh and entice those who are just escaping from others who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. That's why drugs, pharmakia in the Greek, that's why pornography, that's why sex, that's why these other things are so dangerous, because they enslave people. the enslaved people. Now, Romans 6:15, what then shall we say? Are we to sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. So we've been brought into another kingdom. Think of it that way. We've been freed from slavery, brought into another kingdom. We have this old nature and these senses with us. We're packing that dead man around, remember, on his shoulders. He smells. But sometimes we kind of like him. I get to touch and I get to feel, and I still get my feelings. You know. So should we continue on what we were doing in the old kingdom? By no means. Do you not know that if you present, and here's the key, if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. And we say, well, wait a minute, leads to righteousness. I had a very good conversation with somebody the other day who was a pastor, dabbling in pastor, and then he went about some other thing, and he was in a Baptist, good Baptist church, and then he went somewhere else. And now, we're talking about this concept of now and not yet, and you'll think about, you'll hear it more and more as it comes out of my lips, but the now and not yet. I am righteous, and yet I'm not righteous. I am saved, and yet I'm not saved. You get it. Isn't that simple? It's like I'm saved in Jesus Christ, but I don't see the kingdom anywhere. And boy, did you hear what I said yesterday? Or what I felt, or what I... Oh, no, you didn't hear, because I'm, you know, coveting. I'm going to hold that in my heart. You see, we're slaves to who we present ourselves. I really like this concept. Everyone is a slave. Everyone. I hope I'm not breaking bad news to you. I'm actually breaking good news to you. But we have to start with the concept that you are a slave. Now, you recall slavery. We talked about that. The term is subjective in human terms. We've talked about Black America and the Civil War, and that even when they left the South, they weren't really free. And when they reached to the far parts of Canada, they weren't really free. They might have been a little freer, but there was this relative idea of freedom. Like, I left that, but now what? Again, going back to high school, I left high school, but now what? I got to go to work. Right? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, peace, provide for the common defense, promote its general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, our kids. And we fight for that, right? And we will, and we should. And we continue to uphold that, some of us. The current commander-in-chief does not. But we do. More on that in November. So we love this idea, and we, like I told you about the gentleman, the Englishman I spoke of on the West Coast some time ago. He was talking about he loves America and he loves the freedom, and it's the Wild West and stuff. And then we started talking about mandates and and vaccines, and he wasn't so, you know, cool on the idea of American being the maverick and the Wild West. All of a sudden, no, we need to be under subjection. Freedom to us is huge. You know, you can count it by the number of lives we've lost fighting for it. You can go look at the number of white crosses, number of our children who are in the military, and how we care about what our military is or isn't doing and our commander-in-chief is or isn't doing. It matters. But the Christian's perspective is that we're all slaves. And we will be enslaved if we don't bring ourselves under the subjection of the Master, the one true God, the King. And that's why Paul appeals. to us, appeals. He appeals to us to come under subjection. And Jesus does the same. Peter does the same. I appeal to you. I appeal. Now, at this point, we have a decision to make. See, you are slaves of whom you obey. We have a decision to make. But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. There's your tension, and I always talk about tension in the New Testament in particular. There's the tension of God saying, you're called, and yet you have a choice. You're predestined, and yet whomsoever will. There's a tension that everyone can't answer except to say this. I know what God's word says. It has appealed to my heart. I love him for it. I bring myself under subjection to him. So Jude says a servant of God. James says a servant of God. Peter says a servant of Jesus Christ. And God, Paul says a servant of Jesus Christ. We started Romans with that. I am a servant. That word is slave. I want to remind you. It's doulos in the Greek, slave. We want to calm it down and say servant. That's not a good translation. And yet that's what the ESV, which is a good translation, uses. It's not a good one. You can use bondservant if you want. That is more helpful because it does say that I have become a bond. I am bonded to my master willingly. But again, you're still, kind of dabbling a little bit. I do like the word bond. How about bond slave? God has called me to be a slave to righteousness. And these gentlemen I just mentioned are slaves to Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness, right? It's a person. So you said, I'm binding myself, tack my ear to the door. That's slavery in the Old Testament. Tack my ear to his doorstep because I am a willing slave to Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, well, if you're doing that, you're a slave to righteousness. So now, going back to this idea that you are righteous and yet you still got problems. We have the nature. We're packing this old guy around. So that's why it's saying here, thanks be to God that you were once slaved, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness. Watch this now. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Okay. Now we're set on a mission. This is a great mission. It's like you're working for Russia. You're in the army of Russia, and he says, I want you to invade Ukraine. But, it's an apt example, if you don't mind. Go invade Ukraine. Well, I know people in Ukraine. There's churches in Ukraine. There's wonderful seminaries in Ukraine. Why would I go do that? Well, I work for a bad guy. Let's go do this. So we can get $150 barrel oil and whatever else. But, the slave of righteousness said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Now, again, going back to Gary, and I'm not picking on him. I'm actually, thanking him for his efforts. This morning, he talked about this very thing. That there was a conscience lost, seared, between the fall and the flood. And they couldn't really choose. And that's why Paul earlier said, there was, prior to the law coming, they are not held accountable to the law because they never heard the law. And God didn't open up their eyes to hear the law. But see, here's the difference. He's opened up your heart. He's opened up our conscience, and he's opened up our mind. And it goes back to what I said 2 weeks ago. You now have power you didn't know you had. You realize this, that those who are slave to sin and unrighteousness don't have the power to choose. They don't even want to. They can't see righteousness. They can't choose righteousness. They don't want to righteousness. They love their sin. We shouldn't pick on them for that because we were there, number one. Number two, they can't see righteousness. So why would we pick on them if they can't see it? We pray for them and try to help them. But for us, that's why the judgment of God starts in the church. Because now we can see righteousness and sometimes don't do it. Why? Because now you've presented yourself. You are to present yourselves before the king. So you have the throne of God up here. Illustrative. You walk in dirty, filthy clothes. And you got your bebop stuff in your ear, and you're dancing up before him, and he's going, get that guy out of here. No. We put on our clothes of righteousness, the clothes of Jesus Christ, and we walk in here, reverently, and bow probably three times before I even get up here to stay bowed. We have decision. All of us also lived among them one time, fulfilling the cravings of our flesh and indulging its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were children of wrath. See, the amazing thing is people want freedom. Even unbelievers want freedom. But they're blinded to the true freedom that is in Jesus Christ. I'm reminding you of Psalms 2. When they say, let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords from us. We don't want what they offer. We don't want what the triune God offers. Luke 19, about Jesus, they were saying, this parable Jesus is saying. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Let's kill him. So we have a presentation to make before the king. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit was there? And I want to remind you of this. What fruit? What benefit? What reward comes from this? Go back to that. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is die to die. Genesis 3, death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, there it is. It's not just Paul or Peter or Jude or those. It's us. Just accept it. It's a great, wonderful thing because of the fruit. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life, reward, abundant life. Oh, man, so put chains on me. It's like the reverse of Pinocchio. Put those chains back on. My nose will never grow again, or hopefully. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's the benefits. There's the rewards. There's the end game. That's what we're going for. But make no mistake, you have to be a slave because you're still packing around the old flesh and the old armor of Satan sometimes. And God has given you a free choice, which is wonderful. But the thing that he's done now is he's empowered you to be able to choose. They on the other side of the street, don't have that choice. God must endue them with his power and the insight of the gospel. That's why you pray for them. That's why you talk to them. That's why we're here as the light of the world. They must gain that insight and that power. They must. I want to remind you of it. My mind went to Esther. And so, at the beginning, you remember right off the bat, Queen Vashti, remember? Now, she's the bride, and she, there's this picture of royalty. And remember, royalty, this whole idea of royalty and government, and that comes from God. So the governments of the earth set up their false, you know, kingdoms. But there still is that kind of a concept where there's one king, and you do as I say, and my decree means everything, and I don't take it back. You can find that all in Esther, right? So the bride, Queen Vashti, refuses to come to the king. Now, you and I would say, well, the king's partying, and he's doing some things she didn't want to, you know, she didn't want to be, you know, exploited. And that's how she felt. That's fine. I understand that. But let's take the human concept out of it and talk about God. The queen, the mother, I mean, the bride, was sent for, and she said, I ain't coming. I'm not coming. And the king was not a little angry. He was enraged. In fact, it says he became enraged. I think it kind of built up in him. Like, who does this woman think she is? And so the queen's behavior, the concept here is that the queen's behavior is going to be made known to all the women. So all the women are going, hey, the queen didn't show up. Hey, husband. You know, you're on your own. Now, some of them should be. You know, we're not talking about exploitation of women here, right? We're talking about freedom. I got myself into this marriage. I want out. That kind of concept. So, we may be made to all women, and all of them will look at their husbands with contempt. So then you go on to chapter 2 of Esther, and Esther's chosen, and she's humble. And it says here, it's really interesting, she asked for nothing. And she won the favor of the king and all who saw her. Why did she ask for nothing? Because she knew she wasn't going to get it. No. She was content. God was working with her, and at some point she meets up with her uncle, and they start working these things out. No, she's content. And she found favor with everybody. She had a humble spirit. Chapter 5, on the third day, Esther put on her royal clothes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters while the king was sitting on his royal throne inside the throne room. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight. Don't we want favor? So the king is sitting up here, and we show up in our rags, and we come dancing in. No, that's not righteousness. Or on a Saturday night, I'm going to go out and get drunk before I go meet the king, which we should be meeting every day, by the way. Or I go to bed angry with my wife, which Jesus says don't do. You know what I'm getting at. We got these lists of things that we go, okay, let's start with number one. Let's start working on this one and working on this one so that I can be right before the king. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. I'm going to present my body. I'm going to stop yelling at my wife. Or I'm going to stop yelling at Chance or Austin or whatever. I'm working on it. I'm working on my list. But we all have a list, don't we? We all have a list, so start knocking them off. And present your bodies to this royal king. Because you've been given the power to do it. This is the great thing. You're choosing to knock that thing off that list. You're choosing. And you say, well, you have no power to do that. Well, I've been set free from the law of sin and death. I'm free. Well, I see some strings cut on you. You got some strings on you. I got no strings to hold me down. I actually have strings to hold me down. I'm defended by the word of God and his righteousness. I want those strings. Psalm chapter 2, let us throw off their fetters. No, no, put them on. Put your chains on. And don't make it long. Shorten it up. I see you pack your Bible everywhere you go. That's right. Because that's how I'm free. I love to teach. And I love to know. And now we love to live freedom. We love to live in freedom. 1 Kings 10. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to Jerusalem with a very great group of people court, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. This queen of Sheba, who's she? She's a queen. And she hears of this wonderful thing that God is doing, and this son of God, little s, son of God, and this king under God's throne. And she says, I'm going to go see him. And guess what she got? The king's favor. Philippians 2:10, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And my question is, let's do it. No, not a question. Let's do it now. Let's do it now. Bow in your hearts, bow in your head, bow by your bed, bow in your closets, fall on your face, and worship him. And then the fruit of your labor is going to be 40, 60, and 100-fold. Joshua 24, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth and trust. Cast aside the gods your fathers served in beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if it is unpleasing in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you say, well, you've got no strings on those folks. You've got no strings on your house. I don't. But he has strings on me. And I pray that he has strings on them. And I grow them up in the way that they should go. In the strings of God. We will serve the Lord. Sonia and I are committed to that. To do what is right. No matter how tough it is, are you going to choose the right thing? And if you don't know the right thing, you look in the Bible and find principles of God, character of God, and you do the right thing. Ezekiel 18:21. But if a wicked person turns away from his sins that he has committed and keeps all my statutes and does what is right and just and right, he shall surely live and not die. Isn't this interesting? Remember Genesis? You shall surely die. You will die dying. You will die to die. How about Ezekiel 18:21? But if wicked people turn away from their sins and begin to obey the decrees and do what is just and right, they will live to live. This is wonderful. You say, well, listen, if I'm in Jesus Christ, I'm going to live anyway. And Paul says, don't think that way. Think this way. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice to Jesus. Why present it to sin anymore? Why present it to the old master? He's going to die anyway. We're not going to do that. Put the strings on, put the chains on, whatever it takes on me, and I will be your servant. I will be your slave. So back to Deuteronomy, to which we started with a couple weeks ago. Remember, they promised the land, promised freedom. Watch, Deuteronomy 4:1. Hear now, Israel, the statutes and ordinances I'm teaching you to follow, so that you may live, and may enter and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. This is the fruit of obedience. This is the principle of God to say to you, if you sow little, you'll get little. If you sow much, you'll get much. You're the master of your house, and you will be responsible for it when God comes. And he'll give you charge of 10 cities, or he'll give you one talent or five. And then at the end of Deuteronomy, for I'm commanding you today, see the bookends? To love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways. Remember back in Romans, we walked according to, or Ephesians 2, we walked according to. Now he's saying walk in his ways. Walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, statutes, and ordinances so that you may live. There it is again. And increase. And the Lord your God may bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. And you say, well, I'm not Israel. There's no land in front of me. Oh, there's a land that is greater than fair, or something like that wonderful song, right? Beulah land? Where there's no clouds? Listen, folks. There is great credit. There's great favor from God. There's great reward for demanding that your hands and your feet and your heart and your mind walk in accordances with the commands of God. Not by law, not keeping a law because I'm going to get in trouble or all those kinds of things. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. I love him. I'm going to tie myself to him. I'm going to chain myself to him. If it takes two, fine. I'm going to do what it takes. And yeah, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm saying, yeah, you remember what you preached on, you know, February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day? Do you remember? Sometimes it's hard to remember. But I think that present yourselves is a going on and on, presenting yourselves to God. And you say, Lord, I'm sorry for yesterday. I'm presenting myself to you again today. I'm doing it before I get to bed tonight, and I'm doing it the first thing in the morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for opening our eyes and chaining us to your word. And you've helped us to become, and you've helped us to choose for the first time life. You've helped us to choose whether we're going to sacrifice our days to you, our day, this today to you, and tomorrow. And so help us do this. We're unable to do it without you. You know that. We pray for our families and friends. We pray for the churches that we don't have contact with. We pray for the things of this that are happening in this world, Lord, that you will continue, and we know you will, shine your light in darkness. Help us to be that light here in this community, in our families, and with our friends. Fill each heart here with hope and gratitude and love and slavehood. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.